24/7 here at 99X, and Charlie Steiner's in the boss bucket.
That is true.
Making a buck and a quarter, couldn't like it better.
Well, I don't know about that. What are those old rock and roll lines?
Yeah, let's take a cobweb walk down the memory lane. You ever hear those? Remember those? And go into the Golden Groove Yard and play a hit from way back when, and Stacks of Wax. And I used to use all those things. And I used to call myself Superman, but I'm all hit lines, and I'll play it for you at 527. All that stuff.
That's not bad.
I used to call myself the king of the city. Screaming, yelling.
That's rather modest.
Yeah, I used to call, a lot of, I was the king of a lot of towns.
Where were you?
Jacksonville, Florida.
Oh, that's...
I was the high priest of the hits in Pensacola, Florida.
Get down, my man.
Get down, high priest of the hits. Let's go now. I used to do all that. But then, you know, man, I got, like, mature, came to New York, and, you know, hey... I'm almost as boring as Dave Herman.
Super duper Superman.
That's another one. Super duper Superman. That's the one I used to do. So, well, were you ever a disc jockey anywhere?
Many, many moon ago. As a matter of fact, a little piece of trivia.
Mm-hmm.
I was the first progressive disc jockey in Peoria, Illinois.
Well, then what did you do?
And the last.
Working the nude? Is that was they considered progressive?
No, that was back in 1967.
I almost went to a radio station in Peoria, but I went to prison instead for 2 years, and it was a better gig.
It's 50 degrees in the city. It's 6:53, heading for a high of 61. Going to be a sunny day today. Good morning, everybody. Charlie Steiner, 99X. Traffic and transit, by the way, everything is right on time. There is still no official announcement of a settlement in the 84-day-old newspaper strike. We were all led to believe that a tentative agreement would have been announced by dinner time last night, but we're told by 99X's John Cohen, who's been manning the talks for us all night long, that there are still some small issues to be finalized, but an announcement will be forthcoming at 8 o'clock this morning. We will keep you posted. President Carter's inflation plan doesn't fit the bill, according to the president of the AFL-CIO, George Meany, who supports mandatory wage and price controls. Meany claims voluntary controls simply aren't enough. The White House seems to disagree, as Charles Van Dyke reports.
The administration didn't wait long to respond to big labor's rejection of its new anti-inflation program. Marshall also criticized the timing of the Meany announcement, saying the AFL-CIO leadership condemned the program less than a week after it was launched without a fair test. Charles Van Dyke, Washington.
A federal judge reportedly has scheduled a secret hearing into government reports that underworld bigwig Carmine Galante is the target of a would-be prison assassin. Roy Cohn, Galante's lawyer, has charged that the reported death plot, which has led to Galante's isolation at the Danbury, Connecticut federal prison, is a trick to make his client look bad with parole officials. Cohn also suggested that the death threat may be a subterfuge to enable the government to transfer Galante to another prison out of the jurisdiction of the federal authorities in this area. Meantime, in Bridgeport, Connecticut, on Monday night, Judge T.F. Gilroy Daly ordered a secret hearing to be held tomorrow or Friday to determine the authenticity of the reported plot against Galante and other imprisoned crime figures. A sister and her half-brother pleaded guilty to a reduced kidnapping charge in last February's abduction of 11-year-old Marcy Klein, the daughter of noted fashion designer Calvin Klein. As part of their plea, 23-year-old Paulie Ramsey retracted her claim that she and Klein had been lovers and that he arranged the kidnapping for publicity reasons. Ron Guidry is the Cy Young Award winner. We'll take a look at that story.
We open the newscast by providing the temperature, the time, the weather conditions of the day, and the temperature that we're going to be for a high. In the morning, your basic or most important basic information is the weather, the traffic, the news, and the sports, in that order. So we start with the weather, we then go to the traffic, and certainly in New York, traffic is a major ingredient in the broadcasting of a news program. And then we go into the news and to the sports. And it's no coincidence that that's the order that we do the newscast. Again, at that time of the day, that's what's most important. You get out of bed, what the hell are you going to wear when you go into work for the morning? So that is, those are the things we try to emphasize. The basic information needs of people, no, they haven't changed very much. People have changed, of course. Attitudes have changed. But basic information. You still have to know what to wear in the morning and what's the best way to get to work. So that hasn't changed a whole lot.
99X at 9 before 8 o'clock. Some happy birthdays this morning.
Oh, really?
When you were a kid, did you watch Father Knows Best?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, then later on, this young lady appeared in Lost in Space, and it's her birthday today. Who is it?
Who is it? I don't know.
You know, Charlie...
I'm not quick with the ad-libs on Monday.
You know, for quite a while there, you've been asking me questions, and I don't know them. You know what I mean?
Father knows best.
I've decided that, you know...
You're going to embarrass the hell
enough.
Out of
That's
me.
That's exactly. Angela Cartwright.
Of course.
26 years old.
She's 20. Oh, I bet she's nice now, too.
Well, she used to be chubby, remember?
Well, she was kind of cute by the time she got into Lost in Space. Now she's 26.
Okay. Maybe we got a little love affair going between you and Angela. Jose Feliciano says he's 33. Don't believe him.
No.
Arnold Palmer, 49 years old. He looks pretty good for 49.
Yeah, he's doing well.
And, of course, guess who else's birthday it is today?
Old Chicken Stanley.
No. Not Chicken George. Colonel Harlan Sanders.
Colonel Sanders. He must be about 95.
No, he's 88.
Close.
Who didn't make his first $1 million till he was collecting Social Security, believe it or not. Like 60, 65 he was.
Well, I know quite a few people are making $1 million off Social Security now.
No.
No, I'm sorry.
No. He made it after he started collecting. That's a thing there. Okay.
Political humor, right.
I see. Now it's your turn.
Okay, 65 degrees in the city at 753.
Wait a minute.
What?
I made a mistake.
So what else is new?
It wasn't Father Knows Best. Oh, no.
Well, what was it?
It was the Danny Thomas Show.
You are a dummy.
Who was that little fat chick that was in Father Knows
Lauren
Best?
Chapin.
Who? Lauren Chapin.
Yes.
Now we got Slade in here, and he's embarrassing me. Will you get out of here? Now we got Ted Traffic. What do you want?
She was also in The Sound of Music.
Get out. Get the hell out of here, both of you. Are you kidding, The Sound of Music? But her voice was dubbed. I know that much.
The news department's ganging up on you this morning.
That's right. Danny Thomas is 53. His nose is 57.
65 degrees in the city is now 754. Keep it up. It'll be 20 after 8. Heading for a high of 76 under partly cloudy skies. We may see some rain later in the day. The news, a presentation of Toyota. Good morning, everybody. Angela Cartwright, 99X. Traffic and transit. Long Island Railroad reporting the 711 from Far Rock to Independence Station at 803, 11 minutes behind schedule. Southbound West Side Highway, bumper to bumper from the 120s down to 96th Street. Lincoln Tunnel moving better than the Holland this morning. Three-car accident on the upper level of the George Washington Bridge blocking the right lane at midspan. Use the lower level of the GW this morning. The Harlem River Drive has an overturned tractor-trailer truck in the left lane just past the George Washington. Traffic may begin to back up onto the bridge soon because of that accident. One person has been killed, two injured this morning as a newspaper delivery van smashed into a truck carrying some limestone on the Major Deegan, southbound of the Bronx. The dead man and the two injured were in the van, which was carrying the News World Daily newspaper. All lanes of the Deegan, Interstate 87 southbound, closed near 230th Street because of the accident, which occurred about 20 minutes after 5 this morning. None of the victims identified as yet.
For us, if we're going to cover a fire, the angle that we're going to take is twofold. One, how it affects the people involved in the fire and the loss of property and so on. The chronicling of human events, human emotion. And secondly, how that fire may have had an effect on traffic, how that's going to screw up somebody's ride home, which is really all the guy who's stuck in the car in the middle of a traffic jam is concerned about. You know, while it's too bad there was a fire and it's too bad such and such may have lost property or whatever. Ultimately, the guy that's driving in the car wants to know when he's going to get out of the traffic jam. So that is how we would approach it. It does not make any sense to me to put on at our radio station, which is, again, fairly well a specialty radio station. I don't know that we could honestly consider ourselves an all-purpose general radio station, say, like WOR is. So there's no point for me and our staff to put on the same 5-minute newscast of basic hard news that every other station in town is doing. It's counterproductive, and that's how and why news invariably ends up being a tune-out. I never expected that our news would be a tune-in, but if we can keep it from being a tune-out, then we've already accomplished our goal. We try to make that 5 minutes per half hour as part of the program, as part of the entire hour. All too often radio stations will say, well, we've got 55 minutes of music and 5 minutes of news. Well, no. My feeling is that we should have an hour of programming and to try and tie in the news in terms of its flow, its style, its substance with what the rest of the hour is doing. That's point one. So point two, how do you get to that? Well, we deal with the basic hard news stories that everybody else does, perhaps in a shorter, more terse way of going about it, and we will then spend whatever time that other stations may deal in feature or lighter news, we'll go into what we call our series.
99X's Bob Slade continues with his 20-part series on the disco phenomena here in the city. In segment 8 yesterday, Bob looked into the success formula of Studio 54. Now in segment 9, he looks at Steve Rubell's controversial policy of picking and choosing his clientele nightly.
Numerous occasions I've left the municipal parking lot on 8th Avenue and 54th Street at night and couldn't drive down the street. Reason? Hordes of people standing outside trying to get inside Studio 54. If I had my way, I'd let them all in just so I can get down the street. But club owner Steve Rubell stands outside and picks and chooses the people he wants in his disco. If you're a big star, your chances are good. But Rubell says not every celebrity makes it.
Nobody can say I discriminate just because people are celebrities. I mean, people like John Kennedy, Caroline Kennedy. I use them as quick examples. Caroline Kennedy happened last week. I turned away at the door. Caroline had on a baseball cap and a baseball Yankee jacket. I couldn't recognize. She lost a lot of weight.
And as for those who choose to withstand the rejection and wait to enter Steve Rubell's adult Disney World, well, 99X reporter John Cohen chatted with a couple of them.
How long have you been waiting out here?
Too long.
An hour or so.
You think you get in?
I really couldn't care.
Why
are you with him? Yeah, no, nice night, nothing better to do.
Nice night to hang out.
What do you expect once you get in?
I expect it to be a lot warmer in there than it is out here. That's one thing. A lot livelier. That's about it.
Steve Rubell says he hates the image he has created, and a lot of other club owners in the city aren't crazy about it either. We'll talk about that in my next report. Bob Slade, 99X.
Politicians will talk to you about anything at any time. They are on a public relations campaign, especially come election time. So they're going to say anything, and say a lot of anything, and oftentimes it just comes out as a pile of political gibberish. And if you've been in the business a while, you've heard the same lines over and over again. So that I've never really subscribed to the fact that people or politicians should be doing their campaigning on the air, at least not in a format such as this. Again, it all depends on whether or not you see the function of a news department as to inform or educate, and there's a big difference between the two. I don't think our business is to educate, especially within the confines of a specific format such as this. When I was running the all-news stations in Cleveland and Hartford, yeah, you do more educating. Here it's informing primarily young folk, 18 to 34, on stories that have a direct effect on them. So politicians flapping their jowls and just talking away come election time is stuff that within this format, while we don't ignore, we certainly play down quite a bit. There are some stories we won't touch at all. When I first arrived here in New York, the first suggestion, I don't issue orders, I issue suggestions, first suggestion that I made was that there was no real reason for us to broadcast stories about the latest Social Security benefits that were coming down the pike. The reason being, if we have 24 people who would be directly affected by that story, that's 24 more than I know about. It's a story that simply has no relevance to our audience.